Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
You know, when we change our language to we and us as opposed to I and you, there's a massive difference. You know, Dr. Carol Rustbelt found, you know, that an us against the world attitude is what leads to great marital satisfaction.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Josh Straub on how to take your marriage to the next level.
And so for us, we're like, let's get on the same team. We are Team Straub. The Lord has brought us together in which every, as Ephesians describes, every family is named under heaven, you know. And it's like, we are given this name, we are given this family lineage, and we're given it to steward as a team. And I think that purpose and getting on that same team and understanding how we do that is just absolutely critical, that we're not against each other, mm-hmm. but when we actually channel that competitiveness together, man, we can do so much good for the kingdom.
Hear more from Josh and his wife, Christy, at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Since 1966, Hammond Overhead Door Company has provided residential garage doors that offer more than just a strong and secure way to close your garage. They also add beauty and value to your home. Hammond Overhead Door has the right garage door to complement your home and your budget. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peakpainting.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And we're here again. Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthi on maternity leave, as Kevin has said several times this morning and also onward. So please, I'd love to talk with the people. This just gives me a time to be able to hear what people are experiencing here in the area and also in our county. There's so much going on, and I just appreciate being able to have eyes wide open. And as I mentioned last week, using discernment. So even in this last week, we've learned so much more about the attempted assassination, the links, the breakdown in communication at many levels. And if anything, I think it does show just how our government, that's supposed to be of, by, and for the people, the government agencies cannot, it's almost a function of government to not be able to do things as efficiently or productively. We need to have government do the things that private individuals or groups of individuals cannot. So when they're in charge of protecting our past presidents, our current presidents, whatever is happening. Anytime they're actually in to be protecting the people. They need to be doing more than just an adequate job. It needs to be professional. And what has transpired and what I've suggested is that there's a lot more to this story than has been coming out. Now, I don't have any of the resources that Dan Bongino, the background, the history. I think he's done an amazing job bringing this information to light. So what I think I can do here in this county, here on the show today, and when as long as I'm here, as a CPA, as an accountant, I look for patterns, I look for numbers, I look for facts that don't add up, and try to connect the dots and put the pieces together. So when they say follow the money, that's you follow the money. So I've become aware of several different areas that perhaps the people in San Luis Obispo County and across our nation are not aware of, or it's not hitting the news, because as we know now, there were over 100 million times that people were either censored or suppressed when it came to the November 2020 election between X or Twitter at that time. Also, the Meta, so Facebook, you might have anything, Google searches, etc., where you were not getting information and not able to see that information. So there's the sense that somehow it didn't happen. So even the cases, I think there were something like 65 cases that came up after the November 2020 election. Of those 65 cases, they one after another, after another, after another, were dismissed on standing. You didn't have standing. Well, some of those cases, and especially one in Pennsylvania, it was that you didn't have standing. You were bringing forward saying there were all of these changes in the legislation in Pennsylvania that allowed absentee voters to no longer be requesting a ballot. They would just get sent a ballot, and that legislatively it hadn't gone through the proper channels. And the judge dismissed it saying, you can't allege that this is going to happen until you have the election and your person doesn't win. So they had to wait. That was 2 or 3 months before the November 2020 election. So they wait until election day. Donald Trump loses. They're even down ballot. There were some races that lost, and they came and they presented this case again, saying, hey, here we are. We suffered because of losing this race, exactly how we told you. There are ballots being sent in from New York coming across state lines. We don't have a chain of custody for these ballots. So, and then at that point they said, well, you can't just cry foul because your candidate lost. So it was dismissed. So what are you supposed to do in that case? But there were 10 or 12 cases that actually did come forward where they were able to produce evidence and have discovery and be able to look at the case on merits. And those cases, 8 out of 10 of those cases, Donald Trump actually won. His side presenting the arguments actually won. So when they say there's no evidence produced, that is not actually correct. There's a lot of evidence. Whether or not cases were allowed to get to trial is another thing. So when we're talking about cases that are still ongoing and coming up, I wanted to call attention, I mentioned it last week, I wanted to call attention to a case that's coming out of Mesa County, Colorado. And this is Tina Peters. She was the county clerk recorder residing in Grand Junction, Colorado, which is the western slope. And in the November 2020 election, she's a Gold Star mom. Her son served, I believe, in Iraq and was a Navy SEAL and had a deployment, a double deployment that went afoul when he was in an exhibition show, air show, something that was going on. Anyway, she was considered a Gold Star mom and tried to run an election in a way that she felt she could be confident and doing her job to the best of her ability. And she did that in the November 2020 election. She had all of these people coming forward saying, but what about this? But what about this? You have registrations here. These people don't live at this address. They're deceased. Why are they still on the voter rolls? So she had all these questions, and she herself was just, I don't know what to do with these questions, but at some point in time, let's research and investigate. She was willing to do that and looked into it and thought, you know, there are some questions here, and we need to research this. But it was the municipal election for the city council that occurred in April of 2021 that really called attention to some serious issues with the Dominion voting machine systems. And that's what she had in Mesa County, Colorado. So I alluded to it before, but I'll go through it. And please feel free to call in. It's 805-238-KPRL, 238-5775, if you want more information about this case. But I do want to talk about it because it's coming to trial in a few days. So I think either on the 30th or the 31st. And I have a call coming in. Let's go ahead and take it, and then we'll continue throughout the hour. I'll give you more information on this case. Hi, caller. You're on the air. This is Darsha, sitting in for Susanna Luthi.
Hi, Darsha. Thank you for taking my call. I came across some interesting information today, and I thought I would see if you had any information on it. Somebody sent me a screenshot from an old article that Karen Veeley had written back in, I think it was October of 22, and it reads, a federal prosecutor will serve as the election officer for San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. That was for the November 8 election. But it goes on to read that the assistant of the United States Attorney, Thomas F. Rybarczyk, will oversee the handling of complaints related to election fraud, voting rights concern, et cetera. It goes on. And there's actually a phone number here. And so it says the United States Attorney's Office can be reached by the public at 310-477-6565. So I'm curious if any of our county voters are aware of this and tried calling that number for any irregularities or questions that they may have experienced in our past elections. Do you have any knowledge about this?
I actually do. I know that there was at least one call that was placed, perhaps two or three. One of those calls, I was on the call with a person calling in and had to leave a message. And then, as I understand, there was not a call back, but a message was left. And the reason for that particular call, and thank you for bringing that up. So that was the November 2022 election, November 8th. And that was the same election that we had 13, Bruce Gibson won. Well, I have to hesitate to use that word. Bruce Gibson won the election for the supervisor, second district supervisor, over Dr. Bruce Jones. So the reason why a call was placed was because there was a precinct worker in South County in San Luis Obispo who was telling a voter that they just needed to put their ballot, their vote-by-mail ballot, into a precinct box, ballot box, without an envelope or without a signature envelope. And that is actually incorrect. Any vote-by-mail ballot that was mailed to you that has folds, you know, that's been folded two times, so that it's a threefold, that has to have an envelope and a signature in order to be counted. So we were in the recount, the November 2022 recount that our group called for. We were aware, or at least the county clerk recorder indicated, that there were 10 ballots that were like that. In the entire election, we have no way of knowing if there were more, but then two were supposedly related to District 2. So precinct workers instructing someone to put their vote-by-mail ballot into the precinct-only ballot box, that disqualified their vote. And that alone can be a reason for a contest for election, even one occurrence. So when we asked about that, Ms. Cano indicated that there were 10. Not very many was her first response. I said, well, how many is not very many? Because that's however many people whose vote was disqualified. I would think that you would be very concerned about that. So, caller, are you aware of any other calls that were made to that number? And are you aware of any other response? Or are you looking for people who may have had issues with the November 2022 election that could call that number or could call either me or someone that they know is actively engaged in the November 2020 election and setting that one straight? Because we're still working on that.
Well, if my memory serves me correctly, I think that was also the same election that 332 provisional ballots showed up mid-counting. I wonder if that number was called in regards to that investigation or inquiry. Because to my knowledge, the clerk recorder had given a couple of different people different stories.
Yes.
Whereas she said it was a spreadsheet error, but in person she told people, me for example, that they had found them in a cupboard and then they commingled them together. So I just think it would be interesting to inquire this number if they ever did an investigation. And so I just kind of wanted to put it out there to find out if you or anybody else had called the number and or to let people know that they can. We actually have a resource number here at 310-477-6565.
So, well, thank you very much, caller. And I will, I can go, let's go a little bit further into that to describe why this situation is so unusual and why it continues to be an issue here in our county. So what happens is election night, ballots come in from the various precincts, and there are precinct ballots, which, as most of you know, I encourage day of, go to your precinct, exchange your vote by mail ballot, or if you've left your vote by mail ballot at home, go into your precinct and have them call down to the county and make sure that a vote by mail ballot hasn't been received. You still have it, so it shouldn't have been received. Exchange that for a precinct ballot that is flat, never been folded. Those are the precinct ballots are the only ones counted on election night. If you go to the incorrect precinct, or you have just moved into the county, or you're maybe a student but wants to vote, and your permanent address is maybe your parents' address outside of the county, you are given what's called a provisional ballot. And the provisional ballots are just that. They're counted at the very end because they need to make sure that there's not any other ballot that has come in for anyone that is voting provisionally. Then there are also the people that come to the polls but then drop off their vote by mail ballot into a little slot. Those actually take a lot more time processing and a lot more time to count. So we encourage someone going to the polls, voting in person is only with a precinct ballot. So we're encouraging that. If you're going to go to the polls, go ahead, take the extra 30 seconds to fill out a new ballot and have it counted that night. But all of those ballots, so provisional envelopes, with the provisional ballot, you have to fill in additional information, driver's license, social security number, etc. You actually have to show an ID. You fill that out. Then you have the precinct ballots that are counted, brought down to the county clerk's office and counted, run through the tabulators that night. The provisional ballots get boxed up, set aside, and then you have the vote-by-mail ballots in the envelopes with the signature on the outside. And those start the process of signature matching, opening, laying flat, and running through the tabulators. Takes about 7 days in our county, minimum. Could be 3.5 weeks. Anyway, the provisional ballots, when do they come into the county? When would you have all of the provisional ballots together?
Only on election night.
On election night. So why, when you have 332 extra provisional ballots that show up on the report to be counted 2 weeks into the counting, 2 weeks after the election. Why is that a big deal when you have 13 votes separating the candidates? Why would you have provisional ballots showing up 2 weeks later, four different stories from three different people? It's still a problem, and that's why we have tried and you have tried, and I know there have been many people who have put forward this information saying this doesn't add up. So having a number now.
Yeah, in regards to the vote by mail envelopes that you're mentioning and how long it takes, from my experience in observing down there at the office and how many different people touch that one vote by mail envelope ballot, when people say, why does it take so long? I'm trying to let people know that if you don't hand in your vote by mail ballot and you vote on a precinct ballot, we can shrink that time of processing and maybe even reduce costs at our county level, because they're paying but 12 employees to touch that one vote by mail envelope to process that vote.
Absolutely correct. Thank you for bringing that to because when you have a vote by mail envelope and you're returning it by the postal service, even dropping it off at a drop box, keep in mind that your full signature is on the outside of that envelope and it has a barcode. The barcode has all of your demographics, has your age, it has how many times you have voted in the last five elections, your precinct number, your registered party. So what I'm suggesting people do, and maybe you can adopt this as well, is treat that vote by mail ballot like $100 cash. So would you drop that in the mail and just want that to go to the county clerk's office, or would you be willing to hand carry that into the election office? So I hear the break, hear the music, and voting in person costs less, takes less time, and is more trustworthy. Thank you so much for letting us know about that number. We're going to go to the break, and I'll take the call that just called in on the other side of the break. Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luther.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Biden unveiling proposed changes to the Supreme Court. Fox's David Spund.
The three big changes are no immunity for crimes of former president committed in office, term limits for Supreme Court justices, and a binding code of conduct for the Supreme Court.
Now, the proposals appear to have a little chance of being approved anytime soon, particularly ahead of November's election. Israel weighing its response to a rocket attack from Lebanon that killed 12 children playing on a soccer field. Fox's Trey Yang says a small community is devastated.
With a population of just 11,000 people, the trauma of this attack affected every resident of Mashdal Shams, a Druze community in the Golan Heights that held a large funeral today for the dead.
The U.S. is cautioning against escalation with Iranian-backed Hezbollah as Israel's war with Hamas rages on. America is listening to Fox News.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
Is Darsha Stebbins in again for Susanna Luthi on maternity leave, and we have a call coming in. I wanted to just let people know that the previous caller has worked very closely in several different elections with me, with others. I didn't know that she was going to be calling in, but thank you for calling in. And so I've been called a fair elections advocate. Actually, I've been called a lot of different things, but a fair elections advocate. I'd like to make elections great and trustworthy and wonderful in our county so that we can actually know that a vote is going to be counted, that every legal vote will count, and that maybe our process can be better and can look better in our county. So we had a call. I was hoping to have the call be on the other side of the break, and perhaps you can call back in. Concerning the Tina Peters case, that is, again, as I said, Mesa County, Colorado, but what I think is going to happen with that case is Tina Peters has been arrested, is now on house arrest for two misdemeanors. She was the county clerk recorder, and it's a federal responsibility that if you are a county clerk, that you are to maintain in a federal election all of those records for 22 months. We do have that call coming back in, so I will go to that, but let's keep that thread going because I do want everyone to know about this case coming up. And caller, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to share a quick story. Back when I was a college student, we had a French roommate, and she was following the presidential election. I forget which one it was, but she was a political junkie, and she was a little frustrated that all her classmates really paid no attention to politics and that they could vote and probably wouldn't. And she said, I wish I could vote. Well, we had the election material from a previous roommate who had just graduated, and I knew her, and I knew she didn't re-register in another county. And so I told her, you know, few beers. We were two blocks from the vets hall. I said, you can vote. You just go up, and you give me your address, and this is the name. And she was incredulous. She said, well, won't they ask for ID? And I said, no, not only will they not ask for ID, if I were to go up there and insist that they look at my ID, they would refuse. And if I pushed the issue, I would be threatened with interfering with a poll worker. And so I said, no, they have a book. You just go up, address, name, period. And then she said, well, what about my signature? And I said, you're not going to sign anything. They're just going to put a check mark, and they're going to give you a ballot. And she went up, and she voted, and she came back with her I voted, you know, American flag sticker, and she was the happiest girl in the whole USA. But she was French. She wasn't an American citizen.
I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, okay, I can think of four things that went terribly wrong there.
I go vote in person, and there's no ID, there's no signature.
You are supposed to sign, yes.
And then they say, okay, here's this address. If there's more than one name, they ask you which name is yours. They check it off, and then they give you the ballot.
And isn't that, I mean, that's the tragic part of it, is that it's not, they're supposed to have all of these checks and balances and these rigorous procedures in place. And I have observed and I have seen that those procedures are, if I was an auditor designing this system, I'd either be in jail or lost my license. So there are procedures in place, but they're not followed. There's actually one
on
time.
On top of that, there's no signature required.
There is.
I know because I, you know, do my mother's ballot and sign it for her. I know that a mail-in ballot requires a signature. In person does not require a signature.
I want to correct that because it is supposed to require a signature. When you go and you exchange your vote by mail ballot for a precinct ballot, you are to sign the voter roster. That is a requirement.
Well, I don't exchange it. I just go and, mm-hmm. Okay, that may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, I vote in person. I don't remember signing anything.
Hopefully.
I just remember giving the information. It's like, here's my address. you know, okay, which person at this address are you?
And there are
I do not believe I was asked to sign.
And I know that that actually was an issue with the most recent election. It is a requirement if you go in person to sign the voter roster. And what has transpired with all of the changes in the elections processes is that those things, it used to be that we would go to our neighborhood, somebody's garage or the school or the church, and it would be people from your neighborhood and they would know who you are, but they would still ask for an ID. Now we're in a place where it's racist to ask for, I mean, I use air quotes, racist, to ask for a voter ID.
I don't believe
but it's required
that election workers have ever been able to ask for ID. I know that
it
there
was
is
90s.
No ID requirement.
Mm-hmm. And
in
California,
that's even controversial in southern states.
I want to thank you for your call. I'll illuminate that a little bit in just a minute. We have another caller, but thank you for bringing this to the attention of most of the people that there are procedures that are there that are supposed to be followed, but I have observed where they're not followed 100%. So it's system is only as good as its weakest link, as you know. Thanks so much for calling in. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question about voter registration on the DMV. My husband had to renew his license, and one of the questions was, are you a citizen? Do you want to register to vote? Well, he's already registered. He doesn't need to. But I don't know how the DMV... If you check the box, yes, I'm a citizen, how does the DMV verify that answer?
So it's my understanding.
All my local and federal people, and none of them have answered me. So.
Well, maybe I can answer that question, what's supposed to happen. And having gone through the renewal process at the DMV, if you can do it online or you can do it in person, you know, if you have an appointment or you go into your local DMV. DMV has direct access to our VoteCal system. I mean, the VoteCal system is the statewide database of all the registered voters. So if you update your address, if you update your registration status at the DMV, it is synced up with the VoteCal system. So when you answer that question, yes, I'm a citizen, you were supposed to have in the voter registration file, it's kind of in the background, but it has to be verified with a driver's license number and or the last four digits of your social security number. Now, in my personal experience, and perhaps your husband's, did he come home and say, this was really confusing because I answered the questions. There were three, maybe four questions that had to do with voter registration. But it was very confusing as to what I was saying I wanted to do, whether I was re-registering, if I was opting out of registration, but I want to keep my registration. Did he say that? He said it was confusing?
It was online, mm-hmm. not in person.
Okay.
And it was confusing. I was mm-hmm. helping him with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, okay with computers. So I was helping him, and it was confusing. But when you check the box, let's say you are just, you know, never have been registered.
Uh-huh.
And you check the box, yes, I'm a citizen, and yes, I want to register. Let's just say that. Do they go and verify that you're a citizen somehow? So with this Cal voter...
Yeah, VoteCal.
Yeah,
VoteCal. They are supposed to verify, and here's my main issue, and... Elena Cano, County Clerk Recorder, even at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, well, the second to last Board of Supervisors meeting on July 9th, was asked by District 1 Supervisor John Pichon, and how will you know if there are people who are not citizens trying to register to vote? And she said something, I may be paraphrasing, but it's a very close quote. She said something to the effect of, well, they're signing and they're checking that box under penalty of perjury that they are a citizen. So
it's their good intentions, or that's up to them to tell the truth. There's
correct.
No verification process.
Correct. So those are the
remedy this.
Exactly. So people don't realize we want to be able to trust the system. We want to be able to believe that, you know, there are checks and balances, that there are things in place, and they are, but if they're not followed, so as citizens, we can do public records requests. We can try to have legislation that's in place, but again, they say that it's racist or questioning elections, you know, you're interfering with the election. But I believe that there are ways that we can check to make sure that every single person, the very first time you vote in a federal election, and this is what I kind of wanted to contradict the prior caller, the very first time you vote in a federal election, you are to show an ID. So if you use a vote-by-mail ballot, I guess you do a copy of your driver's license or some other form of identification. But the first time you vote in a federal election, you are supposed to have an ID. So even if you go in person, it should have on the voter roster, and I've been a precinct worker, voter roster, it should say ID required. And they're supposed to ask for that ID if this is the first time someone has voted.
Okay, and if they have registered through the DMV, would they then be required for their first federal election to show that ID?
I'm not clear on that, because in theory, they would have showed ID at the DMV, and that's not something that we as private citizens can verify. It's one of the holes in the chain of custody, in the checks and balances, and in the requirements. So thank you for highlighting that. I would like to have, perhaps the county clerk recorder would like to have instructions on how to clarify which question or what each question a yes means and a no means, or how you can answer each question on that DMV online renewal form, because it is very, if you re-register, you almost have to print out that DMV renewal, I'll call it, and sign it so there's a wet signature, and get that to the county clerk recorder. No one knew about that. We didn't even know about it until about 2 years ago. You get into this weird status called a pending status, and you don't get a vote-by-mail ballot in the mail, and you're technically pending, and you have to go in and get a re-register to have your signature, your up-to-date signature, on file with the county clerk recorder. So if anyone is in doubt as to whether or not their registration status is correct, you can check it online at the Secretary of State, sos.ca.gov. Go to the Secretary of State website, go to the elections section, and you can check your registration. If your registration is not accurate, you can re-register in San Luis Obispo County. The Republican headquarters, Democrat headquarters, they have, and some of the post office boxes will have a voter registration form that you can submit. Thank you so much for your call.
Not clear.
I agree.
On the DMV form.
I absolutely agree. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And caller, you're on the air. Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthy, KPRL.
Hi. I was just curious, when your mail-in ballot reaches the county clerk and they separate it from the envelope, how do they know whose is what after it's out?
Well, that's a great question. They don't. It's a secret ballot. So if, in fact, later it is confirmed that that you're, for whatever reason, you should not have voted, but you received a vote-by-mail envelope and your signature matched the envelope, that's something that you can never go back to that ballot and say, okay, you, caller, voted for this person, this person, this person, and this person, so we can take back that vote. We can take that off of the count because you, in theory, you had voted illegally. Yeah. So now, maybe that was more than once. Maybe that was you actually have a domicile in another state, whatever it might be. Once that ballot is separated from the envelope, the vote-by-mail envelope, you can never pull back the vote.
Now,
unfortunately,
other than when you go in person, other than the rolls with your name on it, how do they know whose is whose when it gets counted?
They don't. Again, it's okay. A secret ballot. But what happens is the in-person voting election day, those get scanned in that night. And then in the next day or two after the election, there's a barcode next to your name. But at least it's private. It's not going through the Postal Service. So thank you for your call. Really appreciate it. Got to go to a break.
Okay, thanks.
And I have a call coming in. We'll pick that up after the break. Thanks so much for calling in. We're talking about elections and precincts and processes in our county.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
On semi-shares soaring almost 12% after revealing its second quarter earnings exceeded forecasts. The chipmaker attributing the rise to gains in the auto industry. McDonald's shares finishing up almost 4%, despite its decline in global sales in the recent quarter, as higher menu prices turning customers off. McDonald's says it will focus on its value meals. Its $5 meal launched in late June exceeded expectations. Tesla shares up almost 6% Monday, after Morgan Stanley naming the electric vehicle maker its top pick in the U.S. auto industry, replacing Ford. The stock market ending the day mixed. The Dow Jones finishing down 49 points, S&P 500 up 4 points, NASDAQ up 12 points. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back. But you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzik Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzik Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzik windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
And Darsha Stebbins in for Susanna Luthi here at KPRL, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. And we've been talking about elections and elections processes in our county especially. And I did want to clarify before we get too far out, the election vote in person process. My understanding now, I am not the county clerk recorder. And all I've done is, as a private citizen, I've started paying attention to the elections, looked into the regulations, the elections code, and I want the processes that are in place to be followed. And the more informed voters can be, the better we can have trust in our elections. So we have several things going on. We have the whole vote by mail process. It's no longer an absentee ballot that gets sent out. It is a vote by mail ballot. You do not have to request it. It is 100% anyone on the active registered voter list receives a ballot. So they haven't even requested it. If they are registered to vote in our county, according to the VoteCal system, the statewide database, then, and they have a domicile in the county of San Luis Obispo, then they are registered, active registered voters receive a vote by mail ballot. Now, you do not have to use that vote by mail ballot. If you choose to want to vote in person on election day, which is what we still have available to us, and I encourage people to do that. I will address the vote early. I know why. But when you go to the polling place on election day, make sure you're at your correct precincts. It's at the top of your vote by mail ballot. Take a look at that. It should be printed exactly your location. They've changed the locations around even within 24 hours at the last election. So make sure you know where you're supposed to go on election day. When you show up, you can look on the outside of the polling place. There will be a voter roster. You can look up your name on that roster. Make sure you go to the correct precinct. If it's precinct 210 or precinct 102, whatever the number is, you go to that precinct. Your name should be listed on that voter roster. And when you come and you say, I want to exchange my vote by mail ballot for a precinct ballot, they say, okay, thank you. They can see your name on that vote by mail envelope. Again, as the caller said, they aren't to request a voter ID. Unfortunately, I want to get to where that is absolutely necessary. And everybody knows that that's necessary in order to have an accurate count. But you're not requested to have your ID. You are required to sign your name on next to the, you know, where it has your name and address listed. You can verify that that's your address and sign your name there. That is in lieu of signing your vote by mail envelope. So you do have to sign for the ballot, but it's either on the voter roster, and now I believe they've started checking those. They didn't used to check those signatures. In the 2022 elections, they weren't checking the voter roster signatures. Now I think they're doing that. So you either have to sign in person on election day, sign for a provisional ballot, or sign the outside of your vote by mail envelope. So you do have to sign. They are supposed to check those signatures to verify that the voter who is registered, that it matches the registration on file. So I did want to clarify that. And as far as the ID, the first time you vote in a federal election, my understanding is the very first time, not the second, not the third, but the first time only, you do have to show some form of identification. So that is in process. So let's get back to Tina Peters. There was a caller coming in earlier before the break. If you want to call back, it's 805-238-KPRL. But Tina Peters' case, the reason why this is so important is because we just, in our county, the county supervisors agreed to renew the contract with Dominion Voting Systems. Dominion Voting System is exactly the same organization, company that was in place with Tina Peters and the November 2020 election and the municipal election that occurred in April of 2021. April or May, I think it was April. Anyway, what transpired is that she was asked to verify about 7:30 at night. She was asked to verify the results, but the polls didn't close until 8 o'clock, and it was percentages as to who won and who didn't win. So she was the only person that wouldn't have that information. They had started counting ballots. And at 8:05, she pushed the button to say, here are the results. And it was exactly those same percentages. That really started her thinking, how can someone else know what the results of our municipal election might be? So she had an IT company make an exact copy of the Dominion server. Dominion wanted to come in and do an upgrade or a trusted build. And she was concerned that she's been charged with preserving the documents, the election documents, for 22 months. It hadn't been 22 months since the November election, 22 elections. So she wanted to preserve that. She had an IT company make a duplicate, a forensic copy of the server data. She did that before the Dominion came in and after Dominion came in. And it had changed. There were files that were overwritten. There were ballot images that were missing. So this information should be coming out in the next several days as this case comes forward. Tina Peters, Mesa County, Colorado. And we'll go to we just had a call that dropped. I was just going to go to the call. So please do call back, caller. Thank you. In Mesa County, Colorado, it's actually the state of Colorado. Jenna Griswold is the Secretary of State, and she is charging Tina Peters with releasing passwords, releasing information, but that information was actually out there online and available for anyone to see. So it's going to be a really interesting case. I'm following it very closely. I hope you will, too. And, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Darsha, how you doing today? So the date's been changed a few times, but if you want to fly in the United States in an aircraft, now they've kicked it to, I think it's May or March 7th of 2025. It changed a few times because of COVID.
Oh, the real
ID? You have to have a driver's license with a bear with a star on him. And you have to take so many pieces of things to prove who you are at the DMV to get that license.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a birth certificate. I think they'll accept a passport, but original documentation in order to get the real, quote, real ID. And
correct.
So
you have to have a real ID to fly in our country, but you don't have to have a real ID to vote in our country.
Well, you have to have an ID for,
you're not going to be able to
cash
fly
a check
in an airplane if you don't have this real ID or a passport.
But you can vote. I know. And the crazy part is, thank you for bringing that up. The crazy, really crazy part is, we even have municipal elections like San Francisco, New York City, where they don't require that you are a U.S. citizen or have attained citizenship, that they feel that everyone who's there is a stakeholder and should participate in the local election. And the issues there, as you can imagine, the issues are there that once they are eligible for a local election, do they vote on that ballot? Do they vote the rest of the races on that ballot? Or are they only given a ballot that shows the San Francisco election, let's say?
Okay, so let's go to San Francisco. When Kamala Harris is our attorney general, and there's an illegal alien that's been kicked out 5 times, but they're protecting him in that town. And how many times did he vote? And this is the guy that killed Kate Steinle with a stolen firearm. So here we have a sanctuary city. I'm sure every sanctuary city, anybody can vote. You can shoot somebody and nothing happens to you. You can be in the country illegally and you can run for president even though you don't belong here.
And Greg, thank you for bringing that up. So what's happened, what's transpired with our election laws in this country is that they have become so lax and so when you don't have the rule of law, and there are no consequences for anything that happens to whether people are voting in elections illegally, whether people are committing crimes illegally, whether they've entered our country. So let's get back to the rule of law. I'm looking forward to hearing about the Tina Peters case. I hope you'll follow this later. And we'll have more news about our county and our county officials with Cal Coast News, if you're following that. And Karen Bealey on Wednesday and Thursday this week will have more information on our local officials. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back Monday as far as I know.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night.
ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.